Greetings, this is James Gillen. We've got another great host. We have Itasha on the line here, and Itasha has quite an interesting past. She's an Arcturian Wisdom Keeper. She spent a lot of time with the Hopi Nation and other elders. She's just getting back from the Paranormal Research Foundation in Colorado, where she gave a presentation there. And I had the honor of hanging out with Itasha also in Joshua Tree. And we had a wonderful experience there, where and actually it was just next to near Palm Springs, but they had a wonderful Star Knowledge conference there that we both attended and spoke at. So anyway, without any further ado, I want to bring Itasha on. Itasha, are you with us?
Yes. Hello, James. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's always great to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here in this really energetic time of change and life for the planet and all of humanity.
You know, I think that's the one subject, the top subject that everybody is asking. You know, they know something's happening. They know there's changes happening. They don't really know what's happening or what's on the books. And I don't know if you could share any insights as to what you've experienced from the Arcturians or what the other elders are saying about the days to come.
Yes, thank you, James. I have had quite a journey here on this earth, as you know, and have been able to be involved in the Star Knowledge Conference, where many of the elders and wisdom keepers and light workers from all over the world gather on an annual basis since 1996 with Chief Golden Light Eagle. I mention him in honor and respect because he has brought together all these people from across the world over the years. And as we have all been coming together, the main message, and this is true of all the conferences, all the light workers all over the globe, the main message is that anything that is not of the light cannot be on this planet anymore. That's what's going on. And the fact is that we are here as off planet to make sure that this planet stays on this ascension path without further, and I'm very careful to use the word further, interference, because we acknowledge that there's been a great deal of interference. So as we're going into this time of light and there are all of these supposed changes taking place, people are not certain how to put them into perspective, because many people have not been awake. And because they weren't awake, they didn't notice that this was going on around them for centuries. And what is it that was going on around them? Basically, a type of a dark veil. Other off-planet races and on-planet people that were interfering with what was supposed to be a much earlier ascension path for Earth. So this ascension is now. I mean, it has happened. And those that are working in these higher energies, and I mentioned off planet, and that includes Arcturians, Tau Ceti, the Pleiadians, and many others, Andromedans. This includes all of the light workers, and as we enter into this time of ascension, we have to release all of the old beliefs. That includes old religious systems, old political systems, old economic systems, and people are just having a hard time letting go.
I know the controllers are having a hard time letting go as well.
There are people having a hard time, yes.
Yeah, more than anybody. And you know, it seems like, yeah, I notice a lot of the popes, you know, are coming down with all these weird illnesses and Parkinson's disease and things like that. And they talk about, Louise Hayes talks about Parkinson's disease is the need to control everyone and everything. But it's kind of interesting how you're seeing this playing out, how a lot of these, the people that are the controllers that are just, their technology is failing. I mean, they used to have incredible longevity technologies and all these things, but now all that seems to be failing because it's, you know, their consciousness isn't aligned with the shift that's going on.
That's very true, because the basic DNA that was human DNA, as you know, was altered a long time ago, and it was altered with the infusion of off-planet DNA, and there were many different off-planet races that, you know, interbred, and there were many different opportunities for them to do good things or not good things, and some did not do things. And basically, we have a crystalline and a higher, more pure strand of DNA now that was coded a long time ago, and that has actually come into effect. And with the sparking, if you will, the coding of this DNA, awakening us, the so-called medical field or illnesses, we don't need to buy into that anymore. Our bodies are not coded in that old way. That we've been awakened. We've been recoded. And that's a lot of what the off-planet's here to do, is sort of tweak that in a good way. So all the old illnesses, control games, they're gone. And that's what people are sad about. That's some of the illnesses, because we have the ability to heal ourselves. We have the ability to tap into higher source without anybody's permission or control. We are the super crystal life body beings.
Yeah, the I noticed that with the changes, the alignment with galactic plane and the sun is going ballistic, and that's creating an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity and really severe weather. All that added together, even the sun pumping out more neutrinos and things like that is actually changing carbon. You know, we're all carbon-based life forms, and we're shifting into silicon-based life forms. And with all these effects happening, you know, it's definitely, you can measure these effects. They're measurable. You know, people are seeing the changes in the DNA, you know, everything else. People that are more spiritually inclined are actually go through DNA changes. That's been really well documented. It's obvious. I mean, we're definitely shifting, you know, into a whole different world, a whole different phase.
That's very true, and what that means for us here on this planet is that we have the ability to manifest, we have the ability to create the type of planet that we want. So these particular eclipses and the particular alignments that we see happening. I know the recent lunar eclipse was very profound. I don't know if you were able to see it there where you are.
Yeah, we definitely saw it, and we saw. And what's interesting too, the next day we had about, oh God, I don't know, we had probably about five or six beautiful ships come over and put on quite a show and powered up. And several, not just once, but a couple of times, one ship would power up twice and blink, you know, back at us and really make it clear, you know, that they weren't satellites. So, yeah, they put on quite a show for us here, you know, during that, right after that eclipse.
Yes, and that happened here in Arizona as well. I've heard from other friends all over the world that they saw ships after that. And we saw around the moon that evening, we had a telescope set up, and we saw a beautiful aqua blue-green light emanating out from the moon. And then we saw the next day, in broad daylight, many ships. And I saw them going up through Flagstaff. I saw them up on Hopi. and I got a couple of shots with a digital camera. That's how clear they were, and I have no special equipment. So they're there for people to see if you look up and you pay attention.
Yeah, that's a good thing to remind people of, is that, you know, I asked this one guy here, he's, you know, kind of a little redneck, and he was saying, he goes, oh, I haven't seen any of them ships here, you know, like this and everything. And I go, hey, well, do you ever look up? And he goes, do you ever spend any time outside at night watching the sky? And he goes, no. And I go, well, how do you expect to see them? You know, it's not their job to show up and tap you on the shoulder. It doesn't work that way. You got to do your part.
Well, actually, even if people wanted to invest in an inexpensive telescope, we do have one, and we were able to, for example, see the craters on the moon. You can see the outlines of things. So, I mean, people do have to put forth some initiative, and that's the awakening.
Yeah.
If they don't put forth this initiative, then they're going to remain asleep. And as these changes are taking place, and we have the second Earth superimposed almost like a hologram on top of this Earth, we have two dimensions here simultaneously existing that are already awakened in light are now going back and forth into. And that's some of the stress on some of the light workers, because they're going in and out of the dimensions and they're going between worlds. That's why.
Yeah, I notice I've been having incredible dreams. I just had one the other night where I was standing on the beach and I looked out at the ocean and it was all gray and dark and it looked like most of the seaweed was dead. And I really wanted to go swimming really bad in the ocean. I just go, oh, this is not looking too appealing here. And then I looked over to the right side and there was just crystal blue oceans and sunny and everything else. And all I had to do is just step over to the other side, you know, to swim in these beautiful oceans. And I go, wow, that seems like, you know, kind of a precursor of what's happening where another Earth that's just out of phase is appearing over us and starting to, and we have to rise the occasion to actually, you know, make this shift to move into this other world. And I think the old world is just going to whatever phase out or go through whatever it has to go through. And whoever has that karma attached to that is going to have to deal with it on that, in that world.
That's very true. And part of the challenge for people will be to embrace this new world and all of the beauty and the creativity and the love and everything that comes with it. And for those that are naysayers or doubters, I would like to recommend a book by Dr. Charles Swanson, a wonderful physicist I met, Paranormal Research Foundation from MIT. He's written two books on paranormal research that has been going on since way before World War II and Roswell. So this is scientific information for those that say, oh, it's, you know, all of your imagination. Basically confirming that we have the ability to alter our reality, alter our electromagnetic field, alter the events that take place around us, and it is through our heart and our heart thought that we put out that we are creating this new world. So, you know, people that want proof in order to get past the fear or whatever block they have, this is some good research. And there are many other books and researches out there, as you know, validating this. So it's real. It's not our imagination.
Yeah, well, back in the 70s, mid-70s or so, we were doing a session with, I was with the teaching of the Inner Christ at the time, and we were doing a channeling session, and Babaji came in and talked about that there'd be two worlds and that one world is just out of phase, you know, from us. You know, that's why we can't see it. It's just phased out just a little bit. It's a little bit out of phase from us. But that's going to be phasing in, and it seems like, and I don't know the whole dynamics of this, but it seems like that's the opportunity for those, you know, of the higher mind to actually, you know, they have to become frequency specific to that new world, and they're going to go on in that experience, and that it seems like, from my understanding of it, my interpretation of it, you might say, is that the people that choose to continue with competition and greed and destruction of nature and all the other things, you know, are going to continue on that old world because they're not going to be, you know, frequency specific to the new one.
That is very true. And we have at this time an amazing group of souls that everybody's calling the Crystal Children that have come in karma free, and many of us were already karma free when we came in, to assist with raising the vibration and frequency of this planet. And as we do that, we're more and more in this other world. Mm-hmm. And so we can't go back. Those of us that are in this other world, we can help them raise up, but we can't go back to that old way.
Exactly. Yeah, and one of my yoga teachers told me that. She said, never go down, never drop down to another's reality. Let them rise to yours, you know. Don't, you know, because then you got both people messed up, you know.
very, very, very much so. And part of this new way is in terms of what many people are calling technology. And that's actually, it's a word. It's a word representing a concept, and it's the only word people know to apply to it. At one time, technology was a very real 3D thing, and we're using it right now with the computer, and mm-hmm. we have the telephones, etc. But basically, we are supercomputers. As our crystalline bodies kick in and the coding awakens us and we rise up into this realm of light, we are this energetic intercommunication mm-hmm. being that we can communicate with others, we can communicate with celestial realms, we can communicate with Creator Source. And that means that we can communicate with Mother Earth, with the plants, with the animals, with the mountains, with the water. And mm-hmm. so it is through our heart and our thought and our frequencies that we can heal this planet. We're not supposed to abandon Mother Earth.
No.
That's never what this was about. We are part of this energy of Gaia.
Yeah.
And that's important for people to know. We don't need to make a run for it to Mars or some other planet. It's all right here.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that no matter where you are, you know, there you are, and there's your karma, and there's your consciousness, and there's really nowhere to go. And I noticed that, you know, a lot of people have these ideas of digging these huge, you know, super cities underneath the planet, and they think they're going to ride this stuff out. But they forgot one thing, is that this is the very atom itself is going through change, and this frequency, there's no way to hide from the shifts and the frequencies coming in. And it's, you know, I just say, if you get a bunch of control freaks and tyrants and put them all together in a hole, you're going to have a real mess down there.
Pretty much so. And considering that the inner earth, Agartha, and the energy light people that are there and the creation that is already there has so permeated through to the surface of this planet that you have a lot of what has been the light energy source of this planet now spilling over onto the surface of the planet. So there are a lot of people that have lived in inner earth and there are a lot of star races that have had the portals of the ships coming in and out, that they are now out on the surface of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be going, hiding into the Earth. You want to be uniting with the inner Earth people that are on the surface now. So we now on surface have many star brothers and sisters from off planet and that have been here on this planet, as well as those of inner Earth, walking this Earth and interacting with people. More and more people are having contacts. There are more and more contactees. You hear it every day. And they're physical contacts. They're not spiritual channeling. And more people having actual physical encounters with ships and off-planet people and inner-Earth people.
I've noticed one thing. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but within the UFO community itself, it seems like they have a long history of discounting, you know, contactees and contacts, and especially the lighter side of things. You know, they will acknowledge the dark side, you know, sometimes, and the abduction thing and things of that nature, but there's an extreme resistance to, you know, looking at the fact that there are some extremely benevolent and very spiritually and technologically advanced beings working with humanity and the Earth and helping us to rid ourselves of these other influences, these other infections that happened over, you know, over the years. And but it seems to be that now that finally the light side is finally coming out, it seems to be coming out very strong right now.
Well, that's true. The glamour or the drama, I prefer to call it drama, of discussing within perhaps UFO community abductions and invasions and all of the things, as you stated, that are of the negative. That basically is sort of Earth history that was hidden from us. Mm-hmm. And so people are sort of eating that up because they've been fed lies for so long. They're now realizing that, yes, all of these horrible things happened. And what they haven't gotten past, people in general across the globe, and what governments and many of the UFO groups haven't gotten past, is that aspect of it. What they haven't been able to get into is the benevolent star races, the positive things that are happening on this planet, the opportunities and the creative and the scientific and artistic and spiritual enlightenments that have already happened. Mm-hmm. And they're stuck. They're like a broken record. Their energy is stuck back in, I would say, the 50s. That's how far behind.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's pretty crazy. The more I look into this stuff, and the more I go and experience, you know, any of these, you know, a lot of the other hosts, I guess, the talk show hosts and other people, I just keep seeing this over and over, that they have this hidden agenda. And the hidden agenda is to keep, you know, the light from coming forward, the higher aspect of contact, and to keep it hidden, you know, to keep it out there somewhere in the future or somewhere in the past, you know, but not in the now. And you know, and they're very resistant to covering anything that's happening now or anything like the Yosemite Ranch that's ongoing. They, you know, it's funny because they'll say, well, I don't know if that's real or not. And you go, well, come. It's not like it happened in the past. It's still happening. It's happening right now. Come out and see it for yourself.
Yes.
But there's a real resistance to that, to actually come out. You know, it's like, because that program, the program is to keep it in the past or keep it far off in the future or keep it dark.
And I think that they're almost afraid because once you let go of the past, it's like, okay, where do I fit? What do I do now? If everything I've been taught was somewhat skewered and a great deal of it was out-and-out lies, and now I know the truth, what do I now do? And it is work being done by those such as yourself at ESETI, where you are a living example of what people now do.
Yeah.
Come and you live in these higher energies. I mean, you are a living example of what they now do.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, it's like, it's not like we're hiding anything. This is open to everybody, but, I just go, wow, you know, all the information's here. You know, we know who's here. We know their nature. We know their ways. And we even know mostly about their technology and other things and how they fly, and not down to details. But, you know, you wonder about that. You go, well, the information's here. Do they really want the information? Or do they just want to keep going in their present mindset? And that's what I've seen with a lot of the skeptics, is they're not really out to learn anything or experience anything or do their own research. A lot of them just sit in their armchairs and their armchair investigators. But, it's like to me, it's just this, I don't even have time for that anymore. I used to have fun with it and entertain it. Now I just said, you know, I go, well, I just go, well, thank you for that open display of ignorance, but, you know. Do you really want to remain in that mindset, or do you want to move on, you know, because I don't have time for that anymore?
Well, one of the nice things is people, just ordinary people that you meet in the store, on the streets, you hear them awakening when they go in to try and be part of this, the capitalism, the economics, global slavery that we've had, and they go to even buy food, and it's now so in their face that you hear them talking about having gardens and raising their own food. You go and you see more and more things say, you know, gluten-free, GMO-free.
Yeah.
And so people are becoming very aware. I know in this urban area, in the Mesa area, Phoenix area, more and more farmers' gardens, more and more farmers' markets, more and more urban gardens. And it's not just here. You see it in schools. I know they're doing it in Chicago, in New York. It's like every little available patch of land people are now looking at and trying to cultivate. And you do see it. I've seen it in schools, a lot of high school gardens, elementary school gardens, growing produce, having cows, you know, whatever, chickens.
Mm-hmm.
So people are doing it, but the younger people, they aren't even getting involved in this conflict. They're just doing it.
Yeah, I think that's what needs to happen, is like let them run their program. I know when I was in Maui, I was involved in the GMO situation there, and they have the Shaka movement. I think it's shaka.org or shakamovement.org. And they brought in all these top scientists and incredible speakers to really divulge all the information about these GMOs and how they are creating cancer, and they are, you know, a slow kill, and they're showing all the evidence and everything else. It was pretty amazing. And they did a march against Monsanto there, because they're using up to 150 to 190 different pesticides and herbicides there, and overspraying, and that stuff's going up in the air, and the winds are blowing it, you know, across schools and things like that, and they're having children born with no brain, and you know, all these birth defects and illnesses right now over there that they don't know how to deal with, and it's actually killing the reefs and the other things. So anyway, they had a march, and I was blown away because they had a showing at a major theater there, and they had to bring widescreen TVs outside the theater because there were so many people that showed up to listen to these people speak. And then on top of that, they did a march, which I was involved in too. And the march had probably 2,500, almost 3,000 people. It went on forever, you know, with signs and everything going right through the middle of the major town there, you know, marching against Monsanto. So, you know, they're doing all, Monsanto's trying to pay everybody off and doing all they can to suppress this, but it's just not working. The people are waking up.
Yes, they are. And in terms of stopping the awakening and stopping the crystal children from coming in and keeping everybody in a sleep enslavement state. It is done through the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the food we eat. Mm-hmm. And they found a way to keep us grocery store bound, where they control what they put in the food. And then if you do try to grow your own or do whatever, then they spray it in the ear. And, yeah. You know, in the beginning, people were saying, oh, those are just clouds. And you say, look again. No, those are chemtrails.
Know
the difference. And that's why you have asthma. That's why you have heart problems. And then that fuels the whole drug industry. Mm-hmm. Because then you're sick. And it's a cycle.
Yeah.
So it's a cycle meant to keep us enslaved. It's a cycle meant to keep corporate greed at the top, very empowered and moneyed. And then you get so sick and weak, you just can't fight anymore. But now with all of the awakened people, and this is what we were saying in the beginning, how you can't go down, but you can reach your hand across and help those that are less weak for whatever reason, whether it's because of illness or their own selves, and empower them to join with the forces of light that are already empowered, awakened, protected, mm-hmm. strengthened, to say no more, no more.
Yeah, that has to happen. I mean, I see these people that are pundits of the mess that's happened here on TV, and I know I can't even listen to them anymore. I see past their mask, and it's quite interesting. I was watching an interview with Bill Gates the other day, and I just went, oh my God, this guy's heavily invested in geoengineering and the chemtrails. He's heavily invested in Monsanto now. And now he bought Blackwater, this mercenary group. And you know, they had like 12 to 20 cases of polio. And then after his polio vaccination program, something like 45,000 people came down with polio and all these debilitating diseases. And he went right on TED Talk and he says, yeah, the inoculations are going to take care of the population program. And people, you know, didn't even hear that. They didn't want to hear it. They're all just looking at him going, oh, he's rich. He's a rich, rich, famous guy. You know, I want to listen to him. I want to praise him. And I go, well, where's the critical thinking here? What is wrong with this picture? Why can't you see the obvious of what's going on? I mean, there's no philanthropist there. There's some pretty sinister things going on. And, you know, and I think it's time for these talking heads to start asking the hard questions. You know, why are you invested in this? What are the byproducts of the work you're doing? You know, why are you making aluminum resistant seeds right now? You know, are you going to kill everything else, you know, so you can capitalize on the food program? You know, we need to start really asking the hard questions of these people. And I think that's what happened in Maui. The people really were educating themselves and waking up and making a stand there. And I think once Maui goes, the rest of America is going to go. I know mostly Europe has thrown them out and kicked them out. Russia's kicked out the GMOs. And I don't know where China is at. I think China is as well. But Germany has. They see the byproducts of this stuff, which is definitely, it ties right into population control. You know, the GMOs, the chemtrails, the aspartame, the fluoride in the water, as well as the other 600 carcinogens in the water. All of the chemicals that they're using, the herbicides and the pesticides, the long-term effects, everything is really fits into genocide. There's no other way of looking at it now.
No, there is no other way. And one of the most important things is people keep saying something is genetic, and that's why I'm ill. It's genetic. Well, we can alter our genetics. Our genetics were altered by others, and these are not genetics that we chose. They were forced upon us, enslaved into, and programmed into us, and we have the ability to alter these genetics, stop this enslavement, and deprogram this particular genetic coding. by refusing to take these poisons into our bodies, and by questioning those that are forcing them on us, and by going the alternative food and alternative lifestyle, alternative energy, alternative dwelling, alternative clothing, and start looking at where we're getting things. You know, do we want to buy into this lifestyle? Because if we do, it will kill us.
Exactly. I know I got very involved in, there's a new hemp program, and, you know, a lot of people go, oh, yeah, he's just a hippie from the past. Actually, I never really, I mean, I tried smoke. I tried pot when I was 19 or whatever, but I didn't inhale. Actually, I did inhale. But you know, I have a pretty drug-free life, but I'm seeing, you know, hemp doesn't have the THC. It doesn't get you stoned in it. But the products that come out of hemp, the oils and the, I think it's the CDBs and all the other things that come out of that have amazing healing properties. And you can use it for wood. You can use it for, you know, clothing, for rope, for, it has so many uses that we could actually restore the forests by growing hemp. We could do all kinds of things with hemp. And now, finally, they just signed it into the farm bill that it's okay to grow hemp now. And this is, there's a big difference between hemp and marijuana.
Yes.
But I mean, I actually got involved in this movement and with Cannaway. If people want to go to ufojames.com, you can check that out if you're interested in it. But I'm just seeing amazing results. I mean, they're taking these young kids that have all kinds of autisms and seizures and epilepsy and all these things, you know, and then showing just incredible results from all of this. I know we can't say healing on the air. We can't say, but you can do the research. Just do your own research and as to the properties of hemp. And so I think that's a big boon. I think, you know, with sand, we can make anything. I mean, we can make beams. We can make glass. We can make incredible structures with sand, you know, and it's crystal. I mean, this whole planet is crystal. You got sand and water. They're both crystals, you know. So, I mean, what better way to live your life in a very organic, you know, crystalline structure, you know. So anyway, I mean, technology is catching up to this. But there's no reason for totally destroying the forest. And there's no reason for a lot of these diseases. And there's, you know, we have the technologies now. We have anti-gravity, counter-gravity. We have the fuelless energy generators now. They're all being released on the planet. There's no reason why we can't live a thoroughly abundant, joyous, healthy life on the planet right now, other than just a few psychopaths running the country.
Well, I think people are looking at what was once called leadership and saying, who is leading us? And the response should not be, who is leading us, but why aren't we leading ourselves?
Exactly. That's what I got from the benevolent Anunnaki that are returning now to take care of their predecessors who fell. That's one of the things they say, you know, it's time to lead yourselves from your own heart and soul. And I always love that. That saying is that they're not here to conquer us. They're not here to, they're here to free us, you know, and actually they have some karmic things to clear up there because of their ancestors. But I mean, between them and the Palladians, the Orion Council of Light and the Andromedans, Arcturians, and I don't know if I'm sure I'm missing a few, you know, I think we got a really good shot at totally turning this planet around, and it's up to the people to wake up and do their part as well.
It is, and there are large pockets right now of various stratums, if you would, of off-planet. We have those that have reincarnated here. We have those that have visited other planets and are now returned back to share in this incarnation. What they learned. We have hybrids that were not government created
yeah.
Or abducted.
Yeah.
You know, We also have the spiritual and other dimensional star brothers and sisters and celestials, and we have the very physical presence of physical extraterrestrials. And I know that many people might be or not aware, pardon me, of the Venusian in the White House some years back, but the reality is there have been humanoid, physiological, off-planet people who have actually lived on this planet and who are currently living on this planet that are interacting with people here, and those are the so-called people called contactees. But they contacted the government first, and everyone's all caught up in disclosure now because they're in shock that the government didn't tell us. But why would anyone think that the government is the only one they would contact? So the interactions between off-planet and on-planet are taking place and have been taking place physically worldwide. Mm-hmm. And so I am Arcturian, and I'm very proud to say so. And that's not a word. Proud isn't a good word necessarily in that sense of pride, other than I would say not ashamed to say so. Because I think for many off-planet, we had to stay quiet for a long time. Mm-hmm. Many contactees, like you say, had to stay quiet. So when we were being quiet, what were we doing? If we're off-planet and we're not communicating with government, we're interacting with people here, what are we doing? Well, that's what you call a grassroots one-on-one assistance to the planet. And that's been going on for thousands of years. It didn't just start in the 2012 era.
Yeah, I went to a very wise man once, and he was in an altered state, and I love what he had to say. And he said that, you know, he said, God has a plan. And he said, God has given its best to the earth right now, you know, for these times. And he said, there's a great awakening. And as they awaken and as they come forward, you know, they're going to touch thousands, millions. And so it does, you know, the earth was seeded, you know, by all these higher dimensional beings, and extremely advanced civilizations have all seeded this planet for quite some time. And a lot of people forgot who they are. They forgot their roots, their soul connection, you know, to these higher dimensional beings. And that's all seems to be being triggered right now, and, you know, in this awakening process.
Well, amongst many of the indigenous cultures worldwide, they worked quite openly with the physiological and spiritual interdimensional light beings from off-planet that resided here. And those were closed communities, as you know, for a long time. Mm-hmm. And now the wisdom speakers from the Aboriginal, from Germany, from Greenland, from the Americas, from the Asian, Tibet, you name it, are coming out in the open and beginning to share that which they have been doing for so long. This is part of the awakening. And yet within these cultures for millennia, they kept this knowledge and these ways alive. In the Phoenix Lights, I know they called up on the Navajo Rangers to come down and tell what was going on the Navajo Reservation, and it wasn't so much focus on the reality of, of extraterrestrial contact, if you will, in physiological form, as it is the focus on the ships in the sky. Well, there's someone inside that ship, and they're gonna get out at some point. And I think that's why Travis Walton's story, which we knew about here in northern Arizona way before it hit mainstream, it was a big thing, so impacted people, because he talked about the people he met inside those ships. And that's what people don't want to talk about. They just want to talk about the ships. There are physiological humanoid people in those ships, and they come out of those ships, they walk around this earth, and they interact with people here.
Now, I noticed that you know, speaking of the Travis Walton story, the people that saw Fire in the Sky were brainwashed with a different version of what happened. And I know he wasn't happy with that. And that seems to be the case. There'd be a real-time event or something amazing happens, and then Hollywood gets a hold of it. And they've got to create it all fearful and suspenseful, you know, to get the ratings and get the... And they add all this nonsense to it. And you know, when I heard this story, his story versus what Hollywood did with it, it was two totally different stories.
It is totally different. Having lived up where Travis lives, up, you know, in Heber and up in that area for many years, we were very protective of him. In fact, if people came through asking about him, we'd go, huh? Because yeah. we weren't going to be part of that show.
Yeah.
As far as interaction with off-planet people, that happens quite frequently in the mountains of Arizona. And so much so that some of the children in the school, they talk openly about it. They do have, in some of the classes right now that I've been in, books, and the students talk about Travis openly. They talk about Fire in the Sky openly. They know it's true. They have all the books on all the teachings of UFOs. So this is a different generation. They don't need to debate it. They know it's true. And they'll talk about the UFOs that they've seen. They'll talk about the off-planet people that they've interacted with.
Yeah, they actually allowed me to come speak at a middle school here in Hood River. And it was amazing. And I spoke at the high school as well, and gave a talk. And, you know, it was pretty amazing that these young kids, they all drew these pictures of UFOs, of the beings and everything else. And what's funny is they're drawing pictures of humanoid cat beings and all these other things. And I'm going, how do they know about this? I mean,
because they are contactees.
Exactly.
And so all these people at all these conferences and writing all these books and these disclosure groups, they need to wake up and realize that we're way past that. And this next generation of kids is not going to pay $2,000 to come to a conference and hear someone talk about a ship in the sky when they're having personal one-on-one contact.
I know.
And they know they're actually having people from off-planet teach them. And you should hear, it's not just pictures. They talk about the energy devices. They talk about the music. They talk about the art that they're learning. They talk about the books they've read. They talk about the science and the math. These children are not closed. And so they are having the most intimate, real contact. And they're using this knowledge to assist this planet. So it's not the younger generations, it's the older ones that are stuck. They need to get over the UFO in the sky. They need to get over disclosure. Contact took place a long time ago, and they're still talking like it hasn't.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, everybody goes, when's contact going to happen? And I said, well, have you ever gone to Egypt? You know, have you ever looked at all the frescoes in Europe with undeniable UFOs, you know, communicating with Mary and Jesus and, you know, very holy paintings, you know, with these events happening? I said, have you done any research at all? I go, what about the massive step pyramids? You know, do you know why they're flat on the top? You know, that's where the ships landed. You know, it's like the references to this goes so far back, all every culture. You know, in India, they talked about the Vimanas, you know, the flying ships. They even talk about how they're made, how they build them, and they talk about the different types of ships. You know, some are physical, some are more of an energy ship, some are a Merkaba or a light ship. You know, they cover all this stuff in the ancient times. But, you know, we go, well, when are we going to have contact? And I go, we've been contacted and observed and interfered with in a good way and a very negative way, both, for ever since the beginning of time.
And it is very important for people to get past Roswell, because Roswell was just simply one of many, many, many contacts and landings all across the globe for thousands of years. It's only because it was mass telecommunicated later on and people wrote books about it. The reality, as you say, is there were books written that got buried that people never read about contacts and landings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's sad because I just see that there's a major effort with PSYOPs to keep everybody focused in the past, keep it on Roswell, you know, or keep it in the future, some distance thing. Or they get Billy Bob out feeding his pigs, you know, that looked up in the sky and a big light blew over, you know. But anybody that's actually having contact or has something beneficial to say you know, is really not going to get the airtime.
They most likely are not. And the reality is that off-planet people are interacting with people here on this planet. The younger generation is totally open and empowered. The changes have already started happening, and they're not going to stop.
Yeah, The e-ticket has begun.
Well, there are positive changes. We have new technology. We have free energy. And we have new foods that are available. We have new ways of, you know, taking care of our bodies and our health. And it's all out there. People just have to open their eyes and embrace it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's time to do the research. It's like throw away your TV, throw away your newspaper. You know, if you want to keep your TV, just go out and buy DVDs of people that do know what they're talking about. You know, it's basically, and just start doing your own research. And to me, the whole thing is about being taken in that inward journey and get out of this external illusion that we keep getting bombarded with, that, you know, that you know, all the commercials and everything on the social programming that's going on. We have to totally step outside of that and find
it's
ourselves.
It's interesting because you have the very old, those that are, you know, the people that live on farms in the country, people at each city that are connected to the earth and never lost their connection. And then you have the new, fresh, crystalline children that are here. And these are the ones that are going to be this bridge of light for the people stuck in between to cross over into the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely happening right now. It's undeniable, and I'm seeing over there when we did a sweat lodge once. We had a bunch of kids participating, and when you pass the talking stick and give it to the kids, they embarrass you. Yeah, they haven't been away for so long, and they tell you all the things that you forgot and where we're blowing it. So I think it's time to, you know, get some of these, you know, children gatherings together and videotape them and give them a voice and to help people remember, you know, where we got sidetracked and where we got lost.
And it's very true. We've been listening to the people in between, which, and I'm so grateful you're giving myself this one an opportunity to share and, as you say, have a voice at this time. Mm-hmm. And it is important to listen to the elders, and yet who has been tremendously left out of it is our youth. I would love to see more and more young people in their 20s and in their teens and even younger, but they are the forgotten ones right now, and they have so much to say. We need to listen to them and bring them out and give them a voice.
I agree 100%. We're coming up to the end of the hour here. Is there a way people can contact you if they want to hear more about the work you're doing or other events you're going to be speaking?
Yes, my website is windstargalactichealing.com, and I will be at the Nashville, Tennessee Star Knowledge Conference September 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, doing a presentation and several workshops in depth going into some of what we have touched on here today.
Great. You know, it's always a pleasure hanging out and talking with you, and I'm looking forward to spending some more time together, catching up on all the latest in the cosmos.
It's been a great joy, James, as usual, and great honor and respect to yourself for all the wonderful work you do, and to all of the crew there at East City Ranch. Mm-hmm. I can only tell people, if they want to experience it for themselves, they need to go to you guys at East City Ranch.
Yeah.
And they just do.
We've got to get you out here too. We're trying to figure out the timing, but it'd be great to get you out here and do a workshop together or something. I think it'd be awesome.
Oh, it would be amazing. Thank you so much. So, and I told the Paranormal Research Foundation group in Denver, Colorado, all about East City. Many of them had not heard of East City. And I said, okay, right here, we need to stop talking, throw away your books, and you need to go to East City Ranch and experience it.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you so much for doing that.
You're so welcome. All right. Gotta get the word out.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we're out of time, so I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and keep up the great work.
Okay, you too, James. Namaste.
Namaste. All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening and watch the skies. They're getting very busy.